Hello again, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another FlyingWheelersOnline.com podcast. This week, I'm talking with the owner of the Hook and Hackle Company, Mr. Ron Weiss. Ron and I are going to discuss the process of actually building a rod from one of their kits. He's going to go through the process step by step from finding the spine to applying the finish. And I think you'll be surprised at how easy the rod building process is. I certainly was. So if you've been considering building one of your own rods, I think this is going to be the pep talk that you needed to get you fired up about just doing it. Please help me welcome Mr. Ron Weiss from the Hook and Hackle Company. Good morning, Ron. How are you doing? I guess it's afternoon where you are.
Well, let me look at my watch. It's 11 minutes to 12, so it's morning. You
Good morning.
Are correct.
Excellent. Well, I'll take it. We were just briefly talking here a minute or two ago about some experiences that we had, and I thought, well, why don't we just start from the beginning, and we'll talk about how you got into fly fishing and how that evolved into rod building and how that evolved into you buying the company 18 years later.
Hey, Hugo, that'd be great. The way I like to tell the story is I used to go fishing. I used to go to Michigan to visit my in-laws every summer. This was about 25 plus years ago, and I used to fish with my friend I met out there. His name was Max, and we went fishing a few times every time I went out. And after a couple of years, he said, "Hey, Ron, you really like to fish. You ought to do this thing called fly fishing." I said, "Max, what the heck is that?" He said, "Well, it's you know, you do this, and this." I said, "Well, that sounds interesting. Where do I get this stuff?" He gave me an 800 number. So I called the 800 number and got a catalog. Catalog came and I saw, wow, I could build my own rod. And so I called them up, talked to the rod building department, and sure enough, I built my first fly rod before I ever went fly fishing.
Wow.
If you haven't guessed already, the 800 number was the Hook and Hackle Company. 18 years later, I bought the company, here we are today.
Well, I think you guys certainly have come a long way. I know, I'm pretty sure you've been a sponsor of Fly Anglers Online since I joined quite a few years ago.
Yeah, the prior owner, Bob Ellsworth, was a sponsor. That's before my time with the company.
Mm-hmm.
And you folks have been very rich in sending business our way, and so we appreciate it. I wish I had more time to speak with you folks. I went through a period where I was getting online every couple of days trying to answer some questions and stuff, but it's just impossible for me to keep up with it.
Yeah, it really is. So, Ron, we're going to be discussing some rod building stuff, and I was, one, just to try and encourage fishermen who are interested in maybe taking on a project like that over the wintertime or even over the summertime, something they wanted to try building a rod, but they're not exactly sure what to get. You know, should I get a package? Should I buy everything individually? What do you recommend? You've been building rods, I think you said, for about 25 years.
Okay, I'm always going to try to make it easy for folks.
Uh-huh.
So when you say over the winter, over the summer, I don't want to give listeners the impression that this is a project that takes a summertime or a wintertime.
Uh-huh.
I think that the first timer can get their first rod done in a weekend, maybe 5 hours Saturday, 5 hours Sunday. So we're talking about a first time of about 10 hours. So you can make it this weekend and fish it a couple of days later after the finishes have dried.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's impressive, yeah.
You know, I am told, I don't know for a fact, I'm told we're number one in fly rod building, which means we sell more of this stuff to people that make their own rods than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think going with a kit with glues or a rod you like and then adding glues and threads, I think that's the way to go. I remember how complicated I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do I need? What I need? What kind of guides? And how big? And how, you know? And it's really not. But it's like anything. Until you get your teeth into it or your hands on it, it seems a lot more complex than it really is. So I would start with a kit, And okay. I would say probably about a good 60% of the things we sell are in kit form.
Okay. Now, let's talk about rod blanks. How do you classify, you know, a lot of people, they prefer a faster action, some people prefer a slower action. What, how do you classify your kits as to the action? Do you actually say this is a fast action rod, tip flex, mid flex, full flex?
I'll tell you how I do it, and I'm about to either put a video on the web, maybe I'll just have my wife snap a picture and I'll email it to you.
Okay.
That you can put up somewhere, okay?
Sure.
But I take what I was taught. I've been to factories around the world to build these things.
Uh-huh.
And what I was taught is I take the tip of the blank, I put the blank together, and I hold it, and I bend it. And I bend it a certain way, and if I bend it about 140 degrees, I call that a fast action. If I could bend it 180, I call it a moderate fast. If it's about 120 degrees, it's going to be, I'm going to call it a moderate.
Okay.
How's that?
That sounds good. A picture I think would be really, really helpful for people to kind of...
It's hard to give you kind of answer, but that's how I do. I put them in my hands and bend them.
Uh-huh.
The wiggle thing, you know, the wiggle thing, everybody does the wiggle thing. I've not been able to learn anything from the wiggle thing yet.
Yeah. The way I was taught when I first got into fly fishing, when I bought my first serious rod, it was an Orvis Silver Label quite a few years ago, and a good friend of mine who's a much, much more experienced fisherman at buying fly rods told me what he's always done is he'll put the tip of the rod on the ground and just hold the handle and just kind of with two fingers and just kind of push down on it to see where the rod starts to flex, and he said a tip flex will flex in the tip, a mid flex will flex about halfway up, and then a full flex will flex from the handle. It'll have an equal bend in it.
I should have given that answer since I didn't have the pictures. Fast is generally thought to be about 25% flex, which means that from tip to butt, really only the top 25% will flex. Moderate fast would be about 30 to 35, and then what they call moderate. You don't find many of these unless you're talking about bamboo and fiberglass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go more towards halfway.
Okay, interesting. Well, so you offer anything from a two piece to a four piece on your blanks, correct?
We have some seven piecers.
Oh, wow.
That a lot of folks buy for pack rods.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I'm do some new ones of those in. But we've got two piece and four piece. Still sell some three piece blanks. We're really learning. The graphite's such a wonderful material. You don't give up anything by buying a four piece versus a two piece.
Right.
And from a practical standpoint, the four piece breaks less because people are putting them away more and they don't step on them.
Right. Yeah, that's always a good thing. So what kind of specials do you guys have going right now that a first time or somebody who's built a couple of rods might be interested in as far as package deals?
Well, Hugo, I got to tell you, I didn't think you were going to, I was doing this interview to try to sell stuff. I thought I was just going to have some fun.
Well, I mean, you know, if somebody listening is thinking, you know, I could do this, what, you know, if just to make it easy on them, yeah. You know.
How do I make it easy? Call up. Best thing to do is to call up, you know, talk to Russ and Eric, email us. If I'm there, of course, me. Be happy to walk you through the process. Whatever you like to fish. You know what we find that folks like to start with low price, of course. So a lot of people, their first rod is going to be like a 6.5 foot 2-weight or a 7 foot 9 inch 3-weight. Because they kind of always wanted one, but didn't want to spend a lot.
Right.
You know, figured, oh, they don't have to get a lot invested. So, I mean, we've got three or four different offerings for their, in that category, depending on color, depending on price. If you buy something without glues and threads, you're basically have to add $20 to it. That's about it.
Okay. Now, let's talk quickly about the tools that folks are going to need for building that first rod. Are there any, does the kit come complete with everything you need, or are there a couple things you may have to purchase to help with the building process, or things that you can make at home to help with the building process?
Well, you come up with the biggest objection we get from people. Well, and that is people say, well, you know, I don't want to get all that equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's virtually no equipment to get. The way the only thing that you might need is a file. You know what a rat tail file is, Hugo?
Right. Yeah.
Just a quarter inch rat tail file that you're going to remount the cork grip with to fit it onto the butt section of the blank. That's about all you may need that you may not have in the house. And I bet you about half of us already have those.
Yeah.
There are no other tools. To cut the threads, I use a single edge razor blade. I don't use any tools to wrap rods. Again, I've been doing it for 23 years. I've got a rod wrapper downstairs. It was a gift. It's a $450 rod wrapper. I've got some other things that are pretty cool. The little stands. I just do it in my hands.
Now, walk us quickly, if you don't mind, just walk us through the process of building a rod. What do you generally start with first, and then, you know, the steps that you take when you get that blank and all the components in your hands, you know, from start to finish, what do you do?
Sure. First thing we want to do is find the spine. And the spine is a very simple process. I can't tell you how to do it on the phone. Again, I'm going to have that picture up. I give you one fast way to do it. You put the whole blank together.
Mm-hmm.
You put the butt section on the floor, and you put your finger, if you can reach the tip section, your forefinger on the top, and you just bend down a little bit, and that'll form the spine.
Okay.
Really that easy.
Huh.
I don't know if you've ever done it that way or seen it done that way. That's just the easiest way to do it, and it's always right.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the first thing you're going to do, and you're going to mark it.
Okay.
After that, you're going to assemble the grip, which is, again, you're going to have a preformed cork grip if you're a beginner.
Right.
Most people do that even if they're not a beginner. Preformed cork grip that is the type they want, and a reel seat. And you're going to assemble those onto the butt of the blank. And to do that, you're going to have to remount the cork a little bit, like we talked about with a rat tail file. That might take 15 or 20 minutes, something like that.
Okay.
And then the reel seat has to fit on the butt section of the blank. And you might need some masking tape or drywall tape, any of it's fine, to make sure there's a snug fit. And after it fits together the way you want, you say, okay, this looks good. I'm going to go ahead here and epoxy it. That's exactly what you do. You use a two-part epoxy. You're going to put it on and let that sit. And that'll be like the first thing that you do.
Mm-hmm.
From there, we're going to start moving to the guides. And to put the guides on, I always put the tip top on first.
Okay.
To get that exactly right. With our the glues that come with the, we have a glue kit. It's around $18 that comes with tip top cement, epoxy, you know, call it glue, and then a finish,
uh-huh,
which is another type of epoxy. It comes with all that stuff you need. And the tip top cement, you melt a little bit and you put the tip top on. You're going to align the tip top with the spine.
Right.
Okay? Don't want to make this too complicated, but for a 6 weight and under, we usually go opposite the spine, and with a higher weight, we usually go right on the spine. But that become clear as somebody starts to do it.
Mm-hmm.
After the tip top's on, I'm just going to align all my guides all the way down. If the second guide is 5 inches down, I'm going to take out my little tape measure. I'm going to measure 5 inches. I'm going to put that guide on and wrap it on and align it with that. I've seen these videos where people have strings and all this stuff rigged out to make sure they're perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. It's so much work. I would never build one. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
You're gonna do that all the way down the rod. And after all those guides on, and you might put a hook keeper on, you're going to put a finish on the blank onto the threads to secure it, and that the finish is really holding that guide on probably more than the threads are these days, because the finishes, modern finishes, are really excellent, Hugo. And you're going to spin that, you're going to turn that while you're putting the finish on, and again, that confuses a lot of people. They think they need a machine for that. I did it for 18 years before I bought the company, and about 2 years thereafter to put the glue on. I put the blank in a box I got from a liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
And I would turn it with one hand and paint it with the other. And I would just turn it 180 degrees every 15 minutes or so for a couple hours. I didn't have a machine that turned it either.
Right.
And I can tell you that I've never lost a guide by doing it that way.
Okay. Now, how many layers of thread do you put on each guide? And then do you need to, I've seen and read about rod builders who will file the guide down to lower the profile a little bit, the feet that actually fit onto the blank.
That's fine. Uh-huh. There are the nuances and things you can do, go on and on forever. Our feet, almost all the feet of the guides we sell are pre-ground, so they're going to, you won't have to do that. Now, it depends on your own level of OCD.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, I'm glad you're laughing, and because it's true. I very seldom file a guide foot down. Now, remember, I'm usually in a hurry. I've got some sample blanks. I want to fish them. I'm not that concerned with the aesthetics. I'm not selling them for money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Having said that, they look great.
Yeah.
They look great, and they're, like I said, it's all pre-ground feet. So I. You can always take a little jeweler's file. I think at the one of these inexpensive tool stores, you get a set for about $4 if you want to go that route.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be as persnickety as you want. You can spend an afternoon filing guide feet down if that's what you want to do. I'd rather fish.
Right. Yeah, me too.
You were asking about the layers of wraps.
Yeah.
Oh boy. We use size A thread, which is about, for you fly tires, it's about twice the diameter of 3-aught fly tying thread.
Okay.
I don't think, unless you're going to a 10 weight or higher, or we expect really big fish, or maybe you're going for a pike, a muskie, and it's going to be a lot in the salt water, I think you don't need any more than one layer. On the heavy rods, and you see this more in the spinning and casting,
mm-hmm.
There's a layer of thread underneath the guide foot. Very seldom see people do that in fly.
Okay. And then that's pretty much the building process. How long, you say for a couple of hours you'll turn the rod blank. Just to, after you've put the finish
hours,
on there.
And again, I'll turn it 180 degrees every 15 minutes. Most of us have a little watch with a little timer on it, or mm-hmm. We have a timer in the kitchen. Just do it while you're watching TV, or sitting on a porch, or in the evening with the kids. You just set your watch, and every 15 minutes you get up and you turn the thing, and that's it. You do it for a couple hours and you're done.
Excellent.
And that thing's going to dry overnight. You can go fishing the next day.
That was my next question. I was wondering, how soon after you get done with that finish can you fish it? So the next day?
I'll fish them the next day. Should probably wait a whole 24 hours, but I'm too impatient to do that.
Yeah, I think I would be as well. So, well, excellent. That's fantastic.
Most of what I'm fishing is I'm doing is to see what my customers are going to get, see how that thing's going to fish, and see if I like it.
Right.
For the record, people ask me all the time, what do you fish with? I fish with the most inexpensive stuff. You won't catch me, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them. I had a Loomis GLX. I sold it on eBay. it was a gift. I had never fished it. Had no desire to fish it.
Yeah.
I like to fish only with things I build and only with non-name brand blanks, because that's what 90% of my customers are using. And, you know, whether I'm in Montana, I've fished the Jordan River in the Middle East, I've fished the Avon in England, Almirada, down south here, and I would never, ever want to trust my fishing to any rod that I didn't put the guides on myself.
Right.
I couldn't imagine it at this point in my life.
Yeah, that's, well, it sounds, you know, I've tinkered around a little bit with fixing a few things with some rods, but I've never built my own fly rod simply because of the fact I'm sure just about everybody, I thought it was a much more complicated process.
And the expense. I mean, we can get you out the door for under $100 to do like a 2-3 weight, maybe some 4 weights too, mm-hmm. with glues. And if you've got that file at home, you're ready to go. I mean, everyone's got a razor blade or Roger down at Flexcoat. A lot of the things I use are from Roger's got a wonderful DVD that we and others sell, but he's just sitting on a picnic table building a rod out by a stream near his house.
Huh.
And he uses to cut the threads like toenail clippers.
Yeah.
You can become as OCD as you want.
Right.
If you know yourself well enough, you know whether or not it's going to take you 20 hours or 8.
Right.
But again, 10 hours is really an average.
Wow, that's a lot less time than I thought it would take to put a rod together, and then be able to fish it the next day. So, I live in Havre, Montana, the north central Montana, and we've got the Bears Paw Mountains just 10 minutes from town here. So, I may have to build a nice little stream rod and go fish it.
Well, there is one. I think I've got two rods up in April at Flanglers Online.
Mm-hmm.
The folks can win.
Oh, excellent.
In your drawing. And there's a 6.5-foot 2-weight in there, and there's, if you have bigger aspirations, there's a 10.5-foot 8-weight.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that should be... That should be well fought after. I think after this podcast, a lot of folks are going to be, who maybe have been putting it off, thinking about it, wondering, should I, shouldn't I? I think they'll definitely take that first step, myself included. And
yeah, I'm not in the warehouse often. Most of my work is virtual. It's, mm-hmm. it's on the phone, it's computer, and it's behind the scenes. It's ordering and doing all those kinds of things. I wish I had more time for product development. Which is just another word for fishing, of course. if you call in, the guys will help you there during regular business hours. You can email me. I get a zillion emails. I answer every single one of them, you know, while they're not filtered out. But I answer them all the next business day. So if you email me today, I'll answer it tomorrow. Unless tomorrow's Saturday, you won't get an answer till Monday.
Right. Thank you very much, Ron. If anybody has any questions, they can reach you. What's your email address?
It's ron@hookhack.com. That's okay. ron@hookhack, hookhack.com.
Excellent. If they've got any questions, they can email you. You'll get back to them unless it's a weekend, yep. The next day. And
call the guys. They're there during regular business hours. Happy to help.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today. And I can tell you personally and for Flyanglers Online, we truly, truly appreciate your sponsorship as well.
And, it goes both ways, and we appreciate the business, the good feelings. Let me add one quickie.
Sure.
You know, I was in Michigan at the Midwest Fly Fishing Show, one of my favorite shows.
Uh-huh.
And I do a handful here. They're all east of the Mississippi at this time. And people come up to me all the time, and they say, "Hey, Ron, thanks for supporting Fly Anglers Online." Like,
okay.
They know that they know what it means, and it's really nice to hear that. So I just wanted to thank you folks that way.
Well, it's our great pleasure. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, and I hope you get to do some fishing this weekend.
All right, Hugo. Thanks.
Take care. Thanks, Ron. Bye-bye. Well, folks, that's going to just about do it for this week. I hope Ron answered some of the questions that you might have about building your own rod. And please continue to extend your thanks and appreciation to our sponsors if you do happen to use their services. Our next podcast is going to feature Charlie Reading. He's a world-renowned rod builder and a well-traveled adventure fisherman. So we'll be talking about some of his trips and what it takes to put one together in today's economy. So until then, tight lines, and thanks for listening.